Our passage of Scripture this evening is Luke chapter 1, and I'll read verses 39 through 45. Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is he who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." When a woman is pregnant, and I'm not a woman, all of you are, so you have an advantage over me in this, but I've seen it a few times when a woman is pregnant and the baby moves in her womb or kicks. Almost immediately she has a smile on her face, and if there's anybody near her that she loves, whether it's her husband or a child or even a close friend, she'll reach over and grab that person's hand and say, feel this. She wants them to feel the baby kicking. And here in this particular passage, we have something like that, but I would say even better than that, because here, John the Baptist, 6 months in the womb, leaps in Elizabeth's womb at Mary's greeting. And not only does Elizabeth feel it, she says, "The babe leaped in my womb for joy." She not only felt the baby leaping in her womb, she knew somehow that he was leaping for joy. Now, I think when we see somebody leap for joy outside of the womb, we know what that is. We can see it on their face. I don't know if a woman can tell if the babe is leaping for joy in the womb. Not without the Holy Spirit helping. I think that she knew for sure that that was the case, and that Scripture was saying that the Holy Spirit let Elizabeth know that when John the Baptist was leaping in her womb, when John was leaping, that he was leaping for joy. And today tonight I want to look at this. Examine it a bit. First, let's start with the context of these verses. Right before these verses, the angel just informed Mary that she's pregnant with God's Son in verses 28 through 35. He also, that same angel, let her know that her older relative, Elizabeth, was pregnant in her old age, verses 36 and 37. And it's because of these things that Mary travels to see Elizabeth. She knows she's just found out she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and that her older relative, much older, beyond childbearing age, is also pregnant. And so they have this in common, that they're both pregnant, but not just pregnant. Both of them are pregnant in very wonderful ways. And so it says in verse 39, "Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste," meaning she was traveling with some speed, and I imagine that she traveled with some joy too, or at least some nervousness about this whole thing. And then we read about the greeting and the leap. It says in verses 40 and 41, "And entered into the house of Zacharias." Zacharias was Elizabeth's husband. He was a priest. He was the father of John the Baptist. And it says, "And entered into the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. It's interesting. It's when the babe leaps in the womb, you'd almost think, reading those words, and Elizabeth was filled with joy. But that's not what it says. It says Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. When John the Baptist, or John, he wasn't John the Baptist yet, but he would be, leaps in her womb, she is filled with the Holy Spirit. And Mary's greeting is presented here as the proximate cause. Obviously, it's the Holy Spirit that's the real and big cause, but Mary's greeting here is sent as the proximate cause of John the Baptist sleeping in the womb. Mary gives a greeting, and the baby in the womb leaps for joy at that greeting. The babe leaped in the womb, verse 41, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, also verse 41. Very interesting story, I think. Large point number three, and now this is a bigger point. Elizabeth's spirit-enabled explanation of the leap. She's describing in this passage the leap and what it means. It says, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. For why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. So let's look at this passage piece by piece. First, Elizabeth's speech was a result of her being filled with the Holy Spirit. It says, first thing, right after it describes the greeting and the baby leaping, it says, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So we know at that point, she was full of the Holy Spirit. Then it says, she spoke with a spirit-empowered energy and loudness, probably with a spirit-empowered joy with that loudness. It says, then she spoke out with a loud voice. Maybe she's louder than she expected to be. Just because she's excited, she's loud when she says the things that she's going to say. And we say things loudly when we're excited, don't we? And that's how she was at this point. And not only did she have spirit-empowered energy and loudness, but she spoke with spirit-empowered truth. The things that she say here are true. One of the names, truth is one of the names of Christ himself, and also Christ, it's a name that Christ gives to the Holy Spirit. Much, much later, when Jesus is an adult, John 14:17, Jesus says, he calls the Spirit of truth, whom this world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells in you and will be with you, or will be in you. John 15:26 says, but when the Helper comes, who I shall send to you, from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And then John 16:13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. And so, because the Spirit and God's Word are true, we know that Elizabeth, who is now filled with the Spirit, is going to speak the truth. She's not mistaken in anything she says here. She's speaking according to the Spirit, and she's speaking what we know now is Scripture. And the truth that the Holy Spirit gave to Elizabeth, is Mary was blessed among women. Those words are said. Mary was blessed. How was she blessed? Well, she's going to bear that child who is the Son of God, who is our Savior, who is our Lord. And no other woman will ever do that. She's the only one. And so she's blessed among women. This truth was consistent with what the angel Gabriel had communicated to Mary. Luke 1:26-28, it says, "Now in the sixth month," this is just a little before this time, "the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.'" And notice that last line that he says to Mary when he greets her. He says, "Blessed are you among women." That's what the angel said to Mary. And then she goes to see Elizabeth. And Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you among women." She hears the same thing from an angel. She hears the same thing from her relative, who is much older. And you know, Scripture says where there's two or three witnesses, there's two witnesses, the angel Gabriel and Elizabeth. And they're confirming this truth for Mary. Elizabeth is speaking by the Holy Spirit. She was also knowing by God's Spirit that Mary's fruit, the fruit of her womb, was her, meaning Elizabeth's, Lord. Because she says, "And blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And how did she know this? The Holy Spirit told her this, because it doesn't say in this passage that Mary came in and said, "An angel told me that I'm going to bear the Son of God." She didn't blurt that out to Elizabeth. No, she just greeted Elizabeth, and when Elizabeth got the greeting, the Holy Spirit came in her and told her the truth about Mary. And so Mary hears the same thing from Elizabeth she heard from an angel. And so she gets this double blast of truth about this baby that's just starting inside of her. And also we see in verse 43 that Elizabeth was appropriately humbled by these things. She says, "But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Even though she's bearing the one who would be the prophet who would go before the Lord, she's amazed that God would pick her. And that Mary is the one and the mother of the Christ, the Lord, who's going to be the Son of God, who is the Son of God, would come to her. Wouldn't you all think the same thing if it happened to you? God picked me for this purpose. And so she's humbled by this, and that's also a work of the Holy Spirit on her. She's appropriately understanding what's going on here, and she's amazed at it. And she's amazed that she has a part in this. I mean, some people win the lottery, but that happens a lot more than your younger relative bearing the Son of God and you being right there, the next friend to her. She also knew the truth about her son, who would be John the Baptist, leaping in the womb for joy. Verse 44, it says, "For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." To me, this is a mind-boggling thing, that she would know that she could tell that. Joy is something that would continue throughout John's life. Even though he had not an easy life, he lived out in the wilderness, but I believe he had the joy of the Lord throughout that life. It is the joy of living according to God's call and living according to his will. And John the Baptist did that probably as well as any ordinary human did. John says, in that context, when the people were asking him, "Are you the Christ?" And John was saying, "No, I'm not." And then they're asking, who are you then? Why are you baptizing people? Why are you doing, if you're not the Christ, why are you doing this, all these things? And he calls himself the friend of the bridegroom. He's not the bridegroom. Jesus is the bridegroom. And then he says, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. That would be shortly before John died. You know, he would have died in his probably his early 30s. He died joyously, even though he was beheaded. He died because he knew he had done his work. He had finished his job. He was the friend of the bridegroom, and he fulfilled his purpose. But point number four. How is it that a babe in the womb has a joyous leap at a greeting from a woman he just met? And he didn't really meet her. He was inside. He couldn't even see her. Because partly because of the babe in her womb, which obviously he couldn't see him. But he leaps for joy at her greeting. And this leap of John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb was also by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was in John already. The angel had told Zacharias, John's father, as much. Back to the angel, Luke, a little further back, Luke 1:13-15, it says, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. So why does he leap for joy at the greeting of Mary? Not because his own senses knew that that was Jesus in her womb, but the Holy Spirit revealed that to him, even as a preborn baby. He gave him, the Holy Spirit gave John, supernatural knowledge. Somehow, though being a preborn baby, about 6 months along, he knew Jesus, and this was not with a might of mind or with extreme intelligence, but he knew Jesus was there. He was present. He was in the other womb of the other woman who just said something. How could he know what was going on in that other womb? Well, this is the amazing work of God. It's nothing else. He could not know that on his own. As a young baby like that, we don't even know if he had the capacity to think that way. But by the Spirit he did, by God's power he did. And this is, in some sense, it's how God always works. He's able to use our weakness for his glory. Even when we think people can't do something, God can enable them to do that. Zechariah 4 verse 6 says, so he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Zerubbabel was that king that wasn't allowed to be called a king because his nation was controlled by another nation. And you could call Zerubbabel a very weak king. And yet he led Israel in rebuilding the temple. And God had told Zechariah and Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest that they were extremely important, even though they were doing what you would call small things, little things. But they were important in God's sight, not by might. They had no might on their side, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And surely John the Baptist in the womb does not have a whole lot of might. He's a little guy. 6 months in the womb, not 6 months old yet, 6 months in the womb, and yet he's praising God, yet he makes his mother rejoice. He's filled with the Spirit, and soon his mother is filled with the Spirit. It says in Psalm 8, a psalm of David, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. They would praise God. And here, John the Baptist is one of those babes who hasn't even been born yet. And yet he's leaping for joy in a way that Elizabeth knew what it meant. Yet not only is this young baby used, but if you remember Elizabeth, verse 36 and 37 of Luke 1, it now says, now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible. Here is an old lady, Elizabeth. She's far past childbearing years, but she has a baby in her womb. And the baby in her womb is filled with the Spirit and leaping with joy. And Elizabeth is filled with the Spirit and leaping as well. Maybe not leaping, but she is praising God. And there's a sense that Zacharias and Elizabeth are like a New Testament Abraham and Sarah. When you think of that, it says in Hebrews 11:11-12, by faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she had judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. And so Abraham and Sarah, they gave birth to Isaac in their old age, and Isaac had Jacob and Esau, and Jacob had 12 sons, and from those 12 there became the nation of Israel. And God used the faith of Abraham and Sarah to have a child at an old age. Now, Zechariah and Elizabeth, you know, Zechariah didn't believe at first. Remember what happened to him? He was made silent. He couldn't say anything for the longest time because he didn't believe the angel. And it wasn't until after the baby was born and they asked, what is his name? And the mother said, John. And Zechariah at another place said, John, wrote it down on a board. And that's when he could speak again. He knew the angel had told him that. And they didn't have a lot of faith, but the little faith they had, God used it and used them. He gave them, even though they were older, the power to praise God, the power somehow they raised John the Baptist the right way. God used them in a mighty, mighty way. And he used their son even when he was little. He gave him, John the Baptist, knowledge of Christ, knowledge that is impossible for anyone to attain apart from God's Spirit. We can be 25 years old and a genius and not gain this knowledge that John the Baptist had in the womb. There are a lot of people that are smart people out there in the world that never come to know Christ. They miss him altogether. They won't praise him. They think of themselves as greater than God. And so Scripture says, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, it says, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. And that's what he did with John the Baptist. He revealed Christ to John the Baptist through his Spirit. Not because John was super smart or super great. He was a babe still in the womb. But he had some kind of understanding of Christ, even in the womb. And what God is telling us is that's how we always come to knowledge of Christ. It's not through our own advancing and learning and stuff like that. It's important for us to study, but ultimately to truly know God, we need God's Spirit to help us. That's why Jesus says, ask and seek and knock and pray for the Holy Spirit. Because he's the one that helps us to understand things. And by ourselves, we can't. It goes on in 1 Corinthians 2 saying, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. If we have the mind of Christ, it doesn't matter if we're a little baby in the womb or if we're 105 years old, God can still give us his knowledge and he can still use us and he can still enable us to do whatever he wants us to do. This is why it's important for us, as we've been learning on the ladies' Bible study, to teach young children, even when we think maybe they don't really understand this yet. And they might not understand it from a human viewpoint, but the Holy Spirit can help them. He can teach them little by little. This is why we don't count anybody unable to understand or unable to come to Christ. One time there was a man at River Commons, and Mrs. Gross will tell you this if she remembers, but she said, Pastor, I've been sharing the gospel with this man, and he's not coming to Christ. I just tell you, he's not, he's not, he's not, he's not. And I said, Ruth, you can't say that. Let's pray for him. Let's pray that he comes. Why? Let's not give up. He's still alive. And so so she gave in and she started praying with me and we started praying. And the next week he had was converted and he was coming to the Bible study. Now that doesn't happen all the time, but it happened with this man, and he's a Jewish man. And he was a Jewish, now he's a Jewish Christian. And he was at the Bible study again last week. He's there almost every Friday, and it's been over a year now that he's been a Christian. And he was the last person you'd think would come to Christ because he was battling with Ruth. And you know how Ruth is. She will battle with somebody. And if she gives up on somebody, she's usually probably right. But I, for some reason, I knew she was wrong. I didn't think you could give up. And I didn't let her give up. And we saw him come to the Lord. And he still comes to the Bible study. And this last Friday, we were singing Silent Night. And he says, oh, how I love that song. He says, I really, really love that song. I heard him. Most people didn't hear him, but he was sitting kind of close to me. And he said it quietly. He wasn't saying it so everybody could hear it. But I heard him. He said, oh, how I love this song. And so he's come to know the Lord. And it says in 1 Corinthians 1, 26-31, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. You know, the Corinthians who Paul was writing to, they were kind of the bottom of the barrel in the Roman Empire at that time. They were the poor people. They were the exceptionally sinful people. They were, even as a church, if you go through the books of 1 and 2 Corinthians, Paul has to deal with many sins among them, including one very bad one. And yet, they were Christians. They were believers. They had come to Christ. And God used them. And that's why Paul says, "For you see your calling, brethren, and there were not many wise and not many noble." Maybe there were some wise and some noble, but God uses weak people. He used John the Baptist even from the womb. When he was, you think, what can a little baby in the womb do? Well, he could praise God to the point that his mother was filled with the Spirit and that his mother was able to encourage Mary to stay faithful. We see, lastly, Elizabeth's application. She says, I believe talking to Mary, she says, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." The Lord had given the angel the message that Mary was blessed among women, that her son would be the Son of God. And now she gave the same message to Elizabeth. So Mary gets the same message twice. And so Mary's encouraged. If she had any doubts, she's encouraged and she's helped by Elizabeth. And we can say, isn't this applicable to all of us? The things that God tells us, shall they not be fulfilled? We have many promises in Scripture. We have many things God has told us. This world is not the end. This is not the end of our lives, but we're looking forward to heaven. And we can trust, Jesus said, and this is the passage I preached last week, "In my Father's house there are many mansions." And he says, "If it were not so, I would have told you." That means it is so. There really are mansions there. And we really have a life that's beyond this life that we look forward to. It says in Joshua 21, 44 and 45, it says, "The Lord gave them rest all around, according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass." All obviously came to pass. We could look back at this in regard to Mary. Everything the angel told her, everything that Elizabeth told her, it was all true and it all came to pass. And we can say the same thing about the things that we see in the Word of God that apply to us, including heaven, including God enabling us, strengthening us to do his will, to be faithful to him. We can trust that his word will come to pass. We can walk by faith and not by sight when we trust his word. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this wonderful Christmas story, which is not a story in the sense that it's a fable or something that's not true, but this is something that really happened, an account of Mary bearing your son, our Lord Jesus, and Elizabeth bearing his prophet, John the Baptist. And when they met at the greeting of Mary, Father, we read that John the Baptist leaped in Elizabeth's womb for joy. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she spoke to Mary and told Mary all the wonderful things, supporting what the angel had already told to Mary. And Father, we don't know what was said during that whole visit. I imagine they were together for quite a time and they talked about many things. And Father, we don't know all those things, but we know what you have chosen to leave in your word for us to know. And Father, we thank you for that. And Father, we thank you that you're a God who watches over us, that you take care of us, that you encourage us in this life to look for the next life and to look to see the promises of God, your promises fulfilled. And Father, help us to do that. Help us to have faith in you. Help us to grow and be strong in our faith. And help us, like Elizabeth, to speak boldly about that faith and about the things that you've told us. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.